turn with me, if you would, this morning, as the Lord will enable us, to the book of Psalms. That's in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 67. Psalm 67 in the book of Psalms, not the metrical Psalms, but the book of Psalms, and Psalm 67. The book of Psalms and Psalm 67. And we wish to look at verse 4. Psalm 67, verse 4. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Psalm 67 and verse 4. Now last week, we looked at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 15, and the great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. It was not now just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. It was for every nation. The gospel is for every nation. And you might imagine somehow along the line that this commandment and commission is something that just came out of the blue. That Jesus now gives them a commission that he somehow decides that this is the best way to go. But of course, if you know your Bible, you will know that all these things are previously told us in the Old Testament. We are told about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he would be born of a virgin. We are told of where he would be born, how he would be brought up in poverty in a poor home. We are told all that would take place, even to his death. And we're also told about the fruit of his death, what would happen after. And in Psalm 67, there is, if you like, a prediction, a prophecy that God would bless all the nations of the world. That God would bless all the nations of the world. This goes back to Abraham, doesn't it? The covenant that God made with Abraham, that in thee and in thy seed, there would be a great blessing to all the nations of the world. Psalm 67 speaks and prophesies of that great blessing that would come about with the coming of Messiah. It's a wonderful confirmation to faith that God can reveal in his word before it ever comes to pass. He's revealing things that will come to pass. And indeed things that the true Israelite prayed for to come to pass. Now if you look at the difference between the psalmist here and the Israelites and the scribes and the Pharisees of our Lord's day, who were full of pride, they were Abraham's seed, and they detested the Gentiles, they detested the Samaritans. They had no time for any of them. We're Abraham's seed. They became very proud. But yet, look at the psalmist. The psalmist is asking God to bless the Jews in order that they would be a blessing to the whole world. Bless us, that all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that's exactly the promise that was given to Abraham, away back to Abraham, the father of the faithful, that in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now you might ask yourself this morning, why verse 4? You could have any verse in this psalm and make it the subject. Why verse 4? Well, I've chosen verse 4 because I believe in Psalm 67 you have what is called a chiasm. A chiasm. What's a chiasm? What's a chiasm? You ask yourself. Well, that is where you have one verse in the center. And the theme of the whole psalm is brought out from that central text, going back to verse 1 and going on to verse 7. You have a central text, and as you go either way, the nearer you get to the centre, the nearer they are alike each other. Doesn't mean to say that every verse is exactly the same, but it's the same theme, except a mirror. Now you see that in verse 4. There's your central verse. You go back one to verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Go to the other side of verse 4 and you get verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Two verses exactly the same, either side of verse 4. And then when you go to verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among the nations. It's speaking about the blessings that are going to go to the Gentiles. And the great blessing. Well, look at verse 6. Then shall the earth yield her increase. God, even our God, shall bless us. So once again, you've got the same theme in mirror form. And then you go to verse 1. God be merciful unto us, bless us. And you have the verse 7. God shall bless us. All the ends of the earth shall fear him. So then you have the middle verse. And as you move out from it, going backwards or going forward, it's almost a mirror image of each other. And that's what you call a chiasm in Hebrew. It's very often you will find that in the Hebrew. That's the way it's written. So what are we then to see in this mirror image, if you like? What are the themes that are seen here? Well, the first is that it's a prayer to bless God's people, the Jews. There is a prayer that God would bless the Jews. It starts with the Jews. It starts there because God blessed the Jews as a nation. And now the psalmist wants God to bless the Jews. It's a prayer. This psalm is really a prayer. And it is a prayer that God would bless the church, that God would bless his people, Israel. It's wonderful, isn't it, when we pray. We pray for many things, don't we? We pray for this, that, and the other. We pray for many things. But when you come to Jesus and Jesus chapter 17 in his high priestly prayer, remember, trying to remember chapter 17 of John, high priestly prayer, a wonderful chapter. Don't forget that chapter where Jesus prays for himself, then he prays for the apostles, then he prays for the church. And all those who would believe. You see, Jesus' great interest is in the church. My friend, is that where your interest is today? Is that where your interest is? It's in the church. You might have many other interests, and there are many things that you will have interest in this world. You might have interest in your family. You might have interest in your work. You might have interest in what you're doing. You might have interest in many, many things. But my friend, is your first interest in God's people, the house of God? Is that what you're... Are you able to say, one thing I of the Lord desire and would seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain, that I, the beauty of the Lord, behold me and admire, and that in his holy place may reverently inquire? Is God's house your great concern? Or is it just that you turn up, you know, on the Lord's day, come to service, go home, that's it. We'll not think about the church again until next week. We turn up again and that's all it is. My friend, that's not what the psalmist had. The psalmist prayed. It was his great prayer that the church would... And look at how, with what confidence he can pray it. Because he begins in verse 1, God be merciful unto us, bless us, cause thy face to shine upon us. That's verse 1. The chiasm, you go to the last verse, verse 7, what... His God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You see, when you pray for the church, you can be assured that God is going to bless the church. There are many things you might pray for in this world, and they may never come to pass, and you may never be blessed with them, but you can be sure that God will bless his church. He encourages us to pray for the church, but you can be assured that God indeed will. And they could be assured that when they prayed here that the Lord would be merciful and seek the blessings. What are the blessings that they were seeking for? Well, he says, be merciful unto us, bless us, and cause thy face to shine upon us. Selah. You see, that there is taking you right back to the Aaronic priesthood. Do you remember how in the Old Testament there was the priesthood that was the Aaronic? The priests were from the tribe of Aaron. It was the Aaronic priesthood. And remember how God told Moses, tell Aaron to speak this Aaronic benediction. Listen to this. This is in Numbers. Speak unto Aaron unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So there's an echo in here. He says, cause thy face to shine upon us. It's going back to the Aaronic benediction. Aaron would stand as the priest would come, and he would pronounce the benediction upon God's people. May the Lord, may the face of the Lord shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, and may he do you good. That was the Aaronic benediction. But you see, the psalmist here is speaking and he's looking forward to something completely different. Because there's something unique in this psalm that the psalmist is speaking about. He's talking about how the whole world would be blessed. This is not just the Aaronic blessing that the psalmist is looking for. He's looking for a unique blessing that God would bring upon his church. And remember how Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, did obeyance to Melchizedek. You remember how Abraham came to Melchizedek, and there he bowed to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the high priest, the priest Melchizedek, and in Abraham, Aaron did obeyance to Melchizedek. And you remember how Paul says that there is one who is raised up after the order of Melchizedek. There is a greater high priest. You see, this psalm here is not just echoing the Aaronic priesthood. It's looking for a unique blessing that God would bring upon his church that would bless all the nations. And my friend, that blessing is the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ, our high priest. It's the blessing that comes. Lord, be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause thy face to shine upon us. Remember the words of, remember Moses up on the mountain. Remember how Moses says to the Lord, show me thy glory. What more could Moses, we've preached that before, haven't we? What greater glory could Moses see? He saw the Red Sea parting. He saw the wonderful works of the Lord. He saw God on Mount Sinai, yet he knew there was something more. Bless, show me thy glory. And God says, you cannot see my face. But I'll put you into the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by. And he shows him the gospel, the blessings that were yet to come that would outshine any glory that Moses had ever seen. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest who would come. And what does Paul say? How do you know the glory of God today? God, who caused the light to shine upon this earth, has shone into our hearts to reveal unto us the glory of God in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. See how wonderful the psalm is. The psalm is full of the gospel. Cause thy face to shine upon us. God doesn't have a face. God doesn't have an arm. Yet his arm is full of power. The Bible speaks to us in anthropomorphic language. That is, he speaks to us as though God has these things. But God, Moses was told, no man hath seen God's face. No man has seen God's face and lived. No man has seen God's face. But the believer today sees God's face. Where? In the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. We behold the glory of God. And my friend, that's what the psalmist is looking for, isn't it? God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause thy face to shine upon us. See, he's also saying here, all the blessings that we receive them from God and nowhere else. All the blessings we receive as the church, we receive them from the Lord blesses. It is all of the free favour and free grace of God. It is out of his mercy that we are not consumed. It is out of his mercy that he would bring salvation. It is out of his mercy that he would bless his church. It is out of his mercy that he would bless the Jewish nation with the great Messiah who would come. I believe that's what this psalmist is looking to. When they're looking for this blessing, it's obvious that the psalmist is speaking about a unique event, a unique blessing that God would bestow upon the church. And they are crying, bless the Jews. Bless thy people. Bless them. And look what he says. Verse 7, the chiasm, the other end of that verse is, God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. God will bless us. God will bless his people. God will bless the Jews. God will bless. And my friend, what a great blessing it was the day Christ came to his temple. What a great day it was for Nicodemus when he trusted in the Lord Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, what a wonderful day it was for Peter, James and John and all these Jews in the north. They believed in him. And my friend, what a wonderful day it is today for you. The day you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May thy face shine upon us. But it's not just that he prays for a blessing upon the Jews. Bless us. The second thing is, he prays that he would bless the Gentiles. You see, there is a purpose why God would bless the Jews. That is that through them, the nations of the world would be blessed. Paul speaks about that, doesn't he? It was through God's covenant people in the Old Testament, and they would be a blessing, not just to themselves, but a blessing to all the ends of the earth. You think of the great blessing that came from Calvary's cross. And that blessing is, the blessing is seen when Jesus says to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is now a blessing that would come to not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. The middle wall of partition would now be broken down. It didn't matter whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. You see that in verse 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth. Thy saving health among all nations. And the opposite, the chiasm, if you like, of that is in verse 6. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. You see, even though the Jews, even though they were not evangelistic, they did not have the spirit to go out and to evangelize the way the church has today. The way the church has been given the Holy Spirit, whereby she goes out and takes the gospel into all the ends of the earth. The church in the Old Testament, the Jews in the Old Testament, didn't have that. And yet, look at how God was telling them that the gospel would be a great blessing, even to the Gentiles. You have a Naaman who is blessed. You have those of Nineveh who are blessed. You have a Rahab who is blessed. You have a Ruth who is blessed. God is saying to them even then that the day would come when even the Gentiles would be blessed through the gospel and through the Messiah, through the salvation that has been revealed unto them. Once again, we notice how different the Jews of Jesus' day. They were proud in themselves. We are God's people, no one else. But look at the psalmist here. He is saying, God bless us. In order that, he would bless the whole of the nations. That's the psalm of the true Israelite of God. The true Israelite rejoices in the blessing of the Gentiles. You think of the Apostle Paul in his unconverted days. I am a Pharisee of the Pharisee. concerning the law blameless in his own eyes, going to persecute God's people. He was an Israelite, a Benjamite, a Pharisee. There is no one like me. Now, look at the difference in him. He goes out into Corinth, and he seeks to bring the gospel to Corinth. He comes to the church, to the council of Jerusalem in the Acts of the Apostles, and he says he's delighting in the fact that the Gentiles are receiving the gospel. What a change. He's now reflecting what God has said in Psalm 67. That Christ has blessed his people with the Messiah. Now the whole ends of the earth will hear. And what is it that they will hear? That thy way may be known upon the earth. What way? What is it that now may be known upon the whole earth? It is God's covenant blessings. The blessings of the covenant of grace. That God will bless his people. That there is a way of salvation to all men. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, the Gentiles will come to know the way of salvation. And what a blessing that would be, the covenant of and that's going back, isn't it? Right back to Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. Think of the words of John 17, verse 3. We considered that last week, didn't we? John 17, 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they may know thee. My friend, that's the way that now would be set before the Gentiles, that they may know thee. They may know who God is. Not just know that there is a God, but that they might know who God is. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. And thy saving health. What saving health is that? What thy saving health? Why do we need saving health? Are we not healthy as it is? Are we not spiritually healthy? Are we not well without any Messiah, my friend? The Pharisees needed no physician because they didn't see. They didn't see their need. The sinner is sick in his sin. We see COVID-19. We see it covering nation after nation, my friend. There is a worse plague than COVID-19, and that is the plague of sin. But here the psalmist looks to the day when this thy saving health among all nations, when there would be a physician who would arise with healing in his wings. Again, the psalmist is looking past even what is immediate to the time when the great physician of the soul would come into this world. People tell you, why do you sing the Psalms? Where's Jesus in the Psalms? My friend, the Psalm is full of Jesus. It's full of the gospel. Now we're told him who would come is the great physician. And he would have healing. Healing. Thy saving health among the nations. And the chiasm to that is verse 6. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. You see, it's speaking here about fruit. Fruit that would be brought out of barren ground. You see, the Gentiles was barren ground. It was the children of Israel that was God's vineyard. That was his vineyard. He had surrounded it with a wall. He had blessed it. It was his vineyard. But when he comes to seek fruit in the vineyard, there is no fruit there. Now, that barren ground among the Gentile nations, Tyre, Egypt, these nations that were pagan nations, Corinth, Macedonia, Ephesians, the Diana of the Ephesians, barren ground would now be ploughed. Edinburgh would now be ploughed. And there would be fruit to the glory of God, spiritual fruit. The earth shall bring forth her increase. In other words, that's the effect. That's the effect that's going to take place in this unique occasion. The barren ground would bring forth fruit. So God, there's a prayer to bless us, bless the Jews, Jewish nation, the Israel nation. Bless that we might be a blessing to the Gentiles. But then the third thing is that the nations of the world would then praise thee. That you would hear praise coming from the nations of the world that were steeped in idolatry, that were steeped in all manner of superstition. These nations that before knew nothing of the gospel, knew nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that these nations now would be praising God. Not wonderful. Not wonderful. Babylonian, Egypt, Tyre, Sidon, Sodom and Gomorrah. All these different places. Britain, Scotland. These nations would come to know and to praise God. Where there was idolatry, paganism, some of them offering up their children unto idols. But now, verse 3, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. See, it's not just now even the nations, it's individuals. People would be praising. People would be this is obviously an unprecedented event that the psalmist is speaking about. This is not just praying as we would pray every day. The psalmist here is speaking about a totally unprecedented event, and that event is when God would bless his church in such a way with the coming of the Messiah that there would be a great blessing to all the nations of the world. And you think of that, that to me brings you back to the very text we had last week by the Lord Jesus Christ. Up until the cross, Jesus told his disciples to go nowhere else other than to his own people. They were not to go outside. He gave himself an indication that the Samaritans could be, and even down it he was giving indication, but he had come. When one comes to him, he says, I've come, why should I bless you? You're a dog. And she said, yes, but even the dogs will feed from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But after, Jesus now gathers his disciples together and he says, go ye into all the world. To every people, every creature, not just to nations, but to people. And tell the people how God has blessed his church. Go ye into all the world. That brings us, you see, to the prayer for the blessing on the Jews, a prayer for the blessing on the Gentiles, a prayer that the nations themselves would come and praise with gladness, would bring to the nations and to the peoples of the world that they would, the people praise thee, that they would be glad. And that brings you to verse 4, doesn't it? It brings you to the very heart of this chiasm. We've worked in from verse 1, 7, 2, 6, 3, 5. Now we're into the very heart of it. The nations would gladly sing. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. They would sing for joy. What had they to sing for joy about? Because there is now the salvation that is set before them in the gospel. The good news of salvation would be brought to all the nations of the world, and it would bring joy. They would sing with gladness. They now know who God is. They are seeing God in the very face of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he brings reconciliation. And there is reconciliation in none other than Jesus Christ himself. and the middle wall of partition is broken down. It doesn't matter whether it's Jew or Gentile, bond or free. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of this water. And we're told one of the reasons why they sing for joy. Why it is that they are glad, because for thou shalt judge the people righteously. Thou wilt judge the people righteously. You see, here is a righteous judge that has arisen up in this world. You think of all the kings that there were even in Israel's day. Think of all the foreign nations that were enemies to God's people. Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, all these different nations, Moab, they were all enemies of God's people. And God's people were held in to one small nation with a king. And even these kings, so often disappointed. But you see, what would bring gladness to the nations is that there is now a king who would rise up different to every other king that had been there. He will judge righteous judgment. His judgment will never be mistaken. His judgment will never be wrong. And in his kingdom, he will stand to protect and defend his kingdom. And his kingdom will go out into all the ends of the earth. And he will rule over the nations. He will govern the nations upon the earth. You know, there is a way in which God governs the nations anyway, isn't there? Even in the Old Testament, he used Cyrus to let God's people go. He used others to chastise them and all the rest of it. But now this king, Jesus Christ, governs all the nations. Providence is in his hands. And he governs all the nations today for the good of his people. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ as king rules in the midst of all these nations. He will overrule everything for the sake of his people. It's wonderful, isn't it? All the nations belong to him. They are all, even the heart of the king, the heart of the king is in his hand. Everything that's going on today, the Lord Jesus rules. And he rules for his people. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and thou shalt govern the nations upon the earth. Here is a king that will rise up, that will not be like any other king, but will rule his people righteously. My friend, do you know him as your king? Do you know him as your priest? At the beginning, we began with, Lord God, be merciful, bless us, with the Aaronic blessing. Going back to Numbers chapter 6, that great blessing when Aaron stood above the people and said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ blesses today his church. Not Aaron. We have a great high priest. Remember, we've said this before, haven't we? The Jews used to say to the Christians, oh, we've got a high priest. Paul responds, yes, but we've got a great high priest. And he blesses his church. And he continues to bless his church today. Has he blessed you? Has he blessed you with a knowledge of salvation? Has he blessed you with that great way of salvation? He is our high priest who has opened up the way to go. What a great joy, what gladness the nations can sing, because now Jesus Christ is preached in the midst of the nations freely, without money and without price. Come, come, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our priest, but not just a priest, a king. Verse 4. He rules in the midst of it. He would rise up triumphant over death even itself and the grave. The last enemy is death. It's a great enemy that comes to his people. There are many enemies around his people. But God, Christ, rules in the midst of the nations, subduing them, bringing into his kingdom protecting his people, turning all providence for their good. Jesus is all providence and everything is in his hand as the king. Do you know him as your king? Do you know what it is to have been subdued by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalm 67, a wonderful psalm. A psalm that speaks of the gospel. A psalm that prophesies of how the nations of the world would be blessed. How would they be blessed? Through the Messiah coming. The priest who outstrips the Aaronic priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood does obeyance to him. And all the kings of the earth, they will give an account to him. And in him, let the nations be glad and rejoice. Because in him there is a wonderful Saviour who saves his people to the uttermost. This psalmist says, bless thy people that they may be seen and be a blessing to others. And what the psalmist says in his own day with regards to the Jews, that the Jews would be blessed, that the Gentiles would be blessed. He says to us today here, that the Lord would bless us, that we would then also be a blessing to others. That he would bless you, that you would be a blessing to others. That he would bless his people, that we would be that we would be as a light set upon a hill, and that we would be enabled to be a blessing to others, that they too would be glad and rejoice in the Lord. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you pray, Lord, bless me, that I will be a blessing to others? Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. We praise thy name that even though the Old Testament church could sing about the gospel going out into the ends of the earth, we thank thee that at Pentecost the Holy Spirit was poured out, giving to the church the means whereby it will become a blessing to this world. We pray that thou would bless our congregation and all within it. May it be that thou, Lord, would be magnified and glorified in the midst of thy people. Bring us to thy church this evening with rejoicing and joy in our heart, that we would hear what the Lord our God would say to us, that he would preach peace to thy people through Jesus Christ. Bless us now. Pardon us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing in Psalm 67. The tune is Selma. Psalm 67. The first version of the psalm, and the tune is Selma. Lord, bless and pity us, shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. Let people praise thee, Lord, let people all thee praise. O let the nations be glad in songs their voices raise. Thou wilt justly people judge on earth rule nations all. Let people praise thee, Lord, let them praise thee, both great and small. The earth her fruit shall yield, our God shall blessings send. God shall us bless, men shall him fear, and to earth's utmost end. Psalm 67, the tune is Selma. Lord, bless and pity us. following are the intimations, God willing. The evening service is at 6:30, and the Monday prayer meeting is tomorrow at 7 p.m. The midweek prayer meeting is on Thursday at 7:30 here in the church and on Zoom. And the services next Lord's Day are at the usual hours of 11 and 6:30. The funeral service of the late Elizabeth Trevor will take place a week on Tuesday, that is Tuesday the 15th of June at 1 p.m. from Edinburgh Eastern Cemetery. Once again, we commend Margaret and Dexter and the family to your prayers and pray that the Lord would give them comfort during this time of grieving. If you want to, if you are seeking to go to the funeral, I'm sure if you spoke to Eric nicely, the bus would be made perhaps available if anybody wanted to get the bus to go to the funeral, then I'm sure if you speak to Eric, he'll be able to organise something for you. These are all the intimations there. God willing, we'll conclude with a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.